Designed by Wingnut Social is brought to you by Wingnut Social, the leading interior design and home pro digital marketing agency. We know it works, so you don't have to. Learn more at wingnutsocial.com.
Have you hit a wall when it comes to growing your design business? Then welcome to Designed by Wingnut Social, helping home professionals accelerate their success with proven industry practices and expert advice.
Hey, kids, and welcome to Designed by Wingnut Social. I'm your host, Darla Jethro Powell. I am kind of recovered from my cold. I'm like 99% recovered from my cold and from seeing the eclipse, 90% we had here in Maryland. It was pretty cool. It was like an overcast day, but it was pretty cool. And I didn't get raptured, which either says I need to go to church more or nobody did. So anyway, I hope you guys are doing really well and you're still here with us. Today's guest is Elizabeth Lord Levitt of the Built for Design Residential Academy, LLC. And I love my conversation that I had with Elizabeth because it was really all about empowering yourself to be knowledgeable in the usually male-dominated aspect of construction, right? Well, what is it going to look like to not just design a house and put a pretty kitchen on Chief Architect or Revit, but actually, what is that going to look like underneath? So we can quote our clients accurately, give them a budget range. We're not the bad guy. And we can, all right, there's two things, right? So we can be partners with our contractors and help them work better and more efficiently. And we know what they're doing. Right? We can work from an educational standpoint. And Elizabeth has a lot of input on that and maybe a new business idea for some of you guys out there. We talk about that as well. Okay. So, but before I get into my conversation with Elizabeth Lord Levitt, I wanted to remind you guys that we are open. Our borders are open at Wingnut Social for search engine optimization and paid ads, paid social. Google ads right now. We've had a wait list for a while, but the floodgates are open right now. So if you need help with not only your social media marketing, which we do exceptionally well, full service, white glove, you don't even have to look at your social media by the time we get you onboarded and we're managing your content. If you don't want to, I know a lot of designers hate social media, but it's a necessary evil is how they look at it. So if you would like to be free of all of that stress, we definitely do social media and we do it the best, but we also do search engine optimization, which is more on the website side, right? The search engine side, the Googles, the Bings. Is anyone using Bing? I imagine someone is, right? And when someone is typing in interior designer, Miami, Florida, you want to be the one who shows up if that's where you are, right? In your service areas. And that's what we do, help get designers found. And synergistically, it just makes sense, right? So you have funnels to lead clients from either your social to your website to your social, and it all works together beautifully, but we can do them independently as well. And the Google ads, right? So sometimes search engine optimization, not sometimes, all the time, it is a low, slow game, right? It's important. You have to build your website, get it healthy so it shows up, it ranks on the first page at least, if not number one, two, or three. And it takes some time. It takes some time to do that on an organic way, but you can offset that with some paid Google ads, right? And those work together as well, because the healthier your website, the lower you're paying for keywords and a whole bunch of other stuff that you don't need to worry about, because you can hire us to worry about it for you. Head on over to wingnutsocial.com and set up a let's chat, and I will give you some more deets and let you know what that looks like to work with us. And I think my Roomba's just gone off. All right. And so before I get into my chat with the lovely and amazing Elizabeth Lord Levitt, you know, I got to tell you a little bit about her. Elizabeth's construction-centered approach to her designs is a culmination of almost 20 years in the remodeling industry. As a CMKBD and CLIPP certified designer with a master's degree in real estate and construction management, Elizabeth applies her construction knowledge to her designs, resulting in completed projects that are not only aesthetically impactful, but also practicable and obtainable. She holds a real estate license and is the founder of Built for Design Residential Academy. And that's Built, the number four, Design Residential Academy. Wingnuts, help me in welcoming the lady Elizabeth Lord Levitt to the show. Hey there, Elizabeth Lord Lovett. I love that name. Welcome to the show. How the hell are you?
I'm good, Darla. How are you?
Sounds terrific. I feel like I should be bowing or curtsying or...
I got told that a lot growing up. It was like, you sound so formal. I'm like, well, you can call me Ellie, please. Something other than Elizabeth, I guess.
Oh, she's one of us. Elizabeth Lord Lovett.
Oh, that's funny.
I love this topic that we're about ready to dig into because we're talking about to really just expanding your knowledge base as an interior designer to the meat and potatoes of what really kind of matters. Mm-hmm. It holds our roofs up and keeps our walls standing and makes everything functional. And it's the construction aspect.
Yes.
Right. And a lot of interior designers are really dependent on just delegating that to a contractor and making it pretty, right?
Yeah.
So we're here to tie those things together. And before we dig into our conversation, just tell the audience a little bit about what makes you such an expert in this space, and we'll dig in.
Sure. So I have been in this industry for almost 20 years. I started in custom furniture for, you know, a year and a half, and the furnishing side, I just it didn't appeal to me as much. And when I decided to move more into construction-based design, I joined a design build firm, which was amazing because I got the opportunity to design and then sit across from my project manager. And when I was designing, he was teaching me, hey, if you move that toilet, it's going to be X, Y, and Z. If you could keep it in the same place, you know, they could get a lot more for their budget. And so you learn a lot more from that side of it. When you can consider the construction side while you're designing, you're going to meet a client's budget more. You're going to understand kind of the ins and outs of what can and can't happen. And it can usually probably come to fruition more than you designing a space and going, I hope they can pay for it. So I've been doing this for about 20 years. It's been a long process. When the economy hit, I was, our firm, design burnt firm, had about 30 people, and they laid everyone
back in like 2008, 2009.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay.
And I was based in Seattle. They laid everyone off, but myself and the two owners. So there were times when I was demoing my own jobs because we didn't have trades. And
I mean, that's terrible, but cool.
I mean, yes, but I learned, like, the shop vac became my best friend. And, I loved that. And so, when the economy hit, it was a sad process. You know, you go a couple months without a paycheck and you're trying to, you know, facilitate this, you know, like career, but, you know, it's not going anywhere. So and I ended up applying and went to grad school at University of Denver and moved to Denver and got my master's degree in real estate development and construction management. It was
nice
in the business school. So it was definitely more business based, no design concept whatsoever. But it really gave me the backbone for moving forward in my firm here and establishing it here and being more construction based. So I've got a design build firm in Denver. We focus on kitchen and bath, basements, you know, big whole house remodels, things like that.
Yeah.
But what I found a couple of years ago was I'd meet these wonderful design students and they'd be taught how to design a kitchen, and then they wouldn't be taught who puts a gas line in or what a header was or how to identify bearing walls. And right. I just felt like they were teaching this great design side, and then they were unfortunately handing it off to a contractor to be like, I hope you can build it. And I just didn't feel like that life cycle of the built environment was, you know, beneficial for the client. And so I started teaching construction management at a local interior design school. And that's just how this whole Built for Design Residential Academy kind of came to fruition. I feel like if I can provide this basic construction surface level understanding of construction for interior designers, it's going to give them the motivation to design spaces and empower them to talk to contractors and things like that. So that's where that came from.
I love that. Okay. So I have a lot of thoughts there. There's a lot to unpack. So my first thing is, we have a lot of interior designers who listen to the show, but we have a lot of decorators as well, right? Who maybe necessarily didn't attend interior design school. I am one of those, right?
Okay.
I am someone that when I started my firm in Miami, I was an interior decorator. I have the big picture, but I did hire really trustworthy general contractors.
Yes.
And I had designers working for me who are NCIDQ, ABCDEFG, all of that stuff, right? So that's one thing. So in interior design school, you did mention that you teach a class there. Mm-hmm. Is this not something that is ordinarily covered in interior design school?
Not normally.
That's crazy.
Isn't it? And when I approached the director, you know, the director had, it's for the Heritage School of Interior Design, and the director, had put a blurb out for like a SketchUp, you know, instructor. And I was like, no, I don't know SketchUp, but do you teach construction? And she was like, I don't, but I'd love to like include that in our curriculum. And I said, well, could I come in and do a workshop one day and just see if this would be something that your school would be interested in? And it started as that. And then it turned into the 6-week curriculum that was certified by the state of Colorado. And now it's a requirement for their master's for interior design certificate. And at least from what I have found from the, you know, I have little note cards on my desk from my previous students who were like, your class was the most beneficial. It really made me understand the whole scope of the design process now. And that is so motivating for me to get out there and teach this.
Most
schools teach, you know, textures and hand drawing and things that don't necessarily help them in the field. It's kind of the background of design, but it's also, you know, that's great. It's like, that's great. You can hand draw, but we don't necessarily do that anymore. You know, we use CAD, we use SketchUp, we use Chief Architect. So why are we not teaching things that are going to help you in the field to help your client, help your contractors, and just facilitate a more successful project?
I love that from a lot of angles. So when I started my interior design firm, I can only speak from my own experience, not having this, what we're talking about now, I had to learn the hard way, the really hard way. And the biggest thing that I was thinking of is the biggest pain point for me was in giving my interior design clients a range of what it could look like. I learned after time and working with the contractors and stuff, but there was a lot of missteps in the very beginning, not having some of that knowledge and experience there for sure. So as part of the process for an interior designer, right, we're going to the homes, we're doing the consultations that's normally paid. We're putting together the design scope. I mean, we pretty much have that down. We know it's going to take X amount of hours to design X amount of thing. But when the client is saying, okay, so it's going to be a kitchen, now I know it's, you know, $75,000, $150,000 or whatever, because I can give them a real scope. But at the time, I was really relying on those general contractors and everything. So I can see, to your point, is what I'm getting at, this being an incredible value add to your skills as an interior designer when you're consulting and you're being a an advocate for your client.
Yes.
Right. And making sure that you have that nailed down. Okay. So going back with respect to the decorator part, the people that don't have their masters, that are not taking your course at universities, is this applicable to them as well? Or is there just stick to fluffing a pillow and, you know, no?
That's a great question. You know, it kind of depends on what a designer wants to focus on. Like if they're focusing on more interior soft surface design, my classes probably won't be applicable to them. You know, it'll be more of, you know, you're not necessarily engaging with a contractor, maybe a handyman to hang up some drapery rods and whatnot. But my courses are definitely more focused on intro interior designers who are coming out into this industry. You know, I was talking to a designer the other day, a very seasoned, big firm designer, and she was saying, I'd never thought about it, but like these interns that I'm hiring, I didn't realize that they wouldn't know who puts a gas line in. Like, you know, like we know as seasoned designers that this is what, because we learned, but when they come out of school, they don't know any of that. And so my courses are definitely more geared towards these designers who are coming into this industry. They want this surface level knowledge so that they can either help their principal designer or they can work alongside a contractor. It just makes it so that, like you said, they're an advocate for their client and they're an asset for their contractor. That is my biggest kind of motivation here, is that designers tend to have a bad reputation sometimes on their job sites from contractors.
I was just going to ask you about that. Okay, yeah.
And so contractors, they blame them for spending the money. They're taking too much time. They're coming onto a job site with an ego. To me, it's a team. Like, it's the client, myself, and the contractor. If we don't all work together, that client and that project will not be successful. So for me, we all need to work together in that scope of work, whatever that scope of work may be.
Right. So I was going to ask you how the contractors are responding to designers who have a little bit more knowledge on that. And I'm wondering, if I'm a contractor, do I want my designer knowing more?
That's a good point.
Because there's a quality control aspect, right? A designer can say, hey, I know this isn't done right. Can you redo this, right? Which is, that's where I would want to be. But I know that historically, and I've experienced experienced this, that contractors get a little irritated with us because we are very particular. Uh-huh. We want things done in an exact way, right? So I'm wondering how this helps to engender those, that relationship building, and how do you navigate that?
That's great. So I think, you know, there are two sides to this. I probably know too much for some contractors, so I can come on a job site and be like, that's not right. Yeah. Or a change order that was supposed to be spec'd originally. No. Like, that should have been in your contract originally. But for these new designers, for me, it's really important. Let's say they go in and they look at a kitchen scope and they're like, I want to move the sink to an island, and I want to put a range on an exterior wall. Well, you kind of need to know which way your floor joists run to be able to move that sink. And so for me, I think we're more of an asset to a contractor if we have the ability to think through things preemptively and say, oh, this is going to be a nightmare for the contractor because now we have to open the ceilings in the basement and we have to build a soffit. What if I kept it in this same floor joist and I know that the floor joists run this certain direction because that's the way the ducting works. So I think being able to have a surface level, like I said, identify key components, a bearing wall, which way do the floor joists run? What's your pitch of a roof and a vaulted ceiling so you're not speccing fans that are too short and, you know, the vault is hitting it?
Minimum. Yeah, exactly.
Totally. And those are things as seasoned designers, we would be like, well, duh. But you don't realize that some of these interns coming out of school and these assistant designers, they don't know these things. So my goal is to just, you know, empower these new designers with the basic knowledge to be able to go on a job site. And even if they don't understand, they can ask a contractor, hey, how does this work? Because for their next job, it's definitely going to be applicable and it can be an asset, like I said.
Well, it also helps you to know what to ask, right?
Yes.
And to your point again, I hired my first principal designer for Darla Powell Interiors when I was in Miami, and I was expecting this interior designer, she was fresh out of school pretty much, but she was all of her certifications and everything, she didn't know either. Mm-hmm. So you're right. They did not teach her. I want to say she went to the Savannah School of Art and Design, I think. I forget what it's called. SCAD, right? Something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is the thing. This is super important. And I'm actually doing a basement remodel, kind of a basement, semi-remodel retrofit of my home theater. And I'm telling the contractor, oh, my floor joists run this way, but I don't care. We need to run the wire this way.
I know there's going to be a soffit. We'll do like a coved ceiling or something, you know?
Yeah. So we're definitely tearing up some drywall, but that's just the way that goes. That's what I want. All right. Awesome. Okay. So we know that you have your academy, you have your course, I should say, at builtfordesign.com.
Yep.
So, and which is a straight shot. We're going to get the knowledge to help us educate ourselves, to increase our business and our relationships with our contractors, and to become advocate for our clients.
Yes.
But what other ways can interior designers avail themselves of this knowledge that they didn't get in school or off of HGTV or doing their own house, et cetera?
So there's a couple things that I tell my students outside of my course is I'll tell them volunteer with Habitat. Go onto a job site and work along a family and Habitat and be able to see a job, a project, basically from, you know, maybe from foundation or maybe the framing stage or at different levels, because you really are going to be able to get into the nuts and bolts and be able to see it. Oh, this is what framing looks like in person. This is what rough and electrical looks like in person. And you're doing a good deed. So, I mean, why not give back? I did a Habitat build down in New Zealand because I wanted a build that kind of had earthquake, you know, there was parameters and it needed structure. I wasn't going to do like a mud hut, but to me, it was panelized construction. For 2 weeks, I got to build alongside the family and it was absolutely amazing. And I learned more on that job site than I probably did in a year of working alongside my general contractors, because I got to look at floor plans, determine what center lines were, help and navigate these volunteers with that, because I did come down with knowledge. Most people don't. Another way would be to look at some of these associations that offer, other certifications. So like NKBA has a remodeling badge or a kitchen and bath design badge or your certification. Yeah. There's CLIP. There's also just the opportunity to work with your contractor and say, can I come shadow you for a week? You know, contractors are very open to educating us because it helps them. So if you say, can I come on your job site and just watch or shadow you for a day, they're going to learn so much. And you have to find a contractor who's willing to do that. But a contractor that's willing to do that is one that's willing to refer you and keep you on their jobs because they like the way that you run your job because it's similar to theirs. So I think that's a really great way to kind of learn that knowledge quickly as well.
You just launched your business on September the 1st.
Yes.
So tell me how the Instagram for Designers course has helped you with that and what kind of ROI you've received from that already, because I think it's pretty big, right?
It is. Yep. And I've had really great engagement since launching my page. And I've had a ton of leads come in and I've landed some pretty big projects for spring of 2024. And I really don't think I would be here today if I didn't take this course.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane. That is incredible. How many leads are you getting from Instagram? What does that look like for you on a weekly or monthly basis?
1 to 2 per week. Every single one of my leads have come from Instagram. There's so many things that I wouldn't have known to, you know, improve my search engine optimization on Instagram.
I love that. So let's say someone wants to volunteer for Habitat for Humanity, and that's a terrific idea. I really love that.
Yeah.
And you go in as a designer, but you're kind of green on this side of the fence. Mm-hmm. Do they have some kind of guided, this is how it's done? Or, you know, what does that even look like? What is that? If I'm going and I show up and I hear I'm here to help.
You know, I would say, you know, they have project managers who will delegate jobs. If you're like, I don't know anything, but I can paint. Like anybody can kind of paint. Yeah. But you can touch base and say, where are you in your phase? What can I do? Even if you're just like a runner, go get me these size screws. You're at least standing there watching people use power tools and understanding how nails are being put up with framing. You know, like these are all things that as a designer, we would just never think maybe we would need to know, but it really does empower us to say, okay, I understand that if I have to move a window, this whole area behind, like the wall framing now needs to be revised. It's very easy for us to click, click, click. Oh, this move, you know, the window moves down 6 inches because that's going to be centered on the sink. They don't realize how it impacts exterior siding, reframing the headers. There's just so much that goes into it. And so I find that if a designer, like I said, can have basic understanding of it, it just helps not only the budget go a lot farther, but it also helps your contractor not hate you.
Yeah. And it helps keep you from quoting, you know, $10,000, $20,000 for construction when it's going to be $80,000.
Exactly. Yes. Like, what does that scope look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause you're going to have some very mad clients because you really do have to know everything that goes into that for sure. I mean, we just remodeled our kitchen downstairs and thank God, because I did have the experience. We just kept the footprint of all the electric, all the plumbing, because I was like, no, thank you. This is not our forever house.
Yeah. Totally.
I'm not about that life. Yeah, I love it. But again, this took years of, you know, experience on the job and some expensive mistakes too. Mm-hmm. So we want to circumvent that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't want to make those mistakes, right? Because, you know, it's hard to stay in business anymore anyway. So, you don't want to spend money that you can't afford to just spend on that, on hard knocks education.
Uh-huh.
I love it. So where does one go to find out? I guess you just go to a Habitat for Humanity website and then just volunteer. Okay, cool.
There's the local one. So in Denver, the Denver-based one, I did it in Seattle. And then there's the international one where you can look at builds that are happening kind of all over the world. And if it's something that you would like to do, obviously you are paying your way. Mm-hmm. But they do organize, you know, room and board. You are paying a flat fee to attend. And you're obviously your flights. But it's just such a fun experience. You get to meet people from all over the country and all over the world. Like I said, we got to build alongside the family. They had 3 kids, and to see the little girl like run in and be like, this is my room. You know, it's just, it kind of makes you really feel very grateful for what we do as designers and how much we are impacting, you know, people's lives. So.
Yeah, 100%. I love that. Okay. So you know what I want to do, tap into a little bit here, Elizabeth, is the residential real estate side and how your construction knowledge helps you with that. Are you flipping? Are you, what is going on there?
So I am also a broker. Okay. I don't do it often. I do it more for friends and family, some clients. But what I've really kind of turned this into is working with brokers who have me come in and talk to clients. If there's a house that they're potentially looking at, I will do a consultation and say, hey, this is what I think you would need to do to get it to what you want to do. This, you can't move this stairwell. You know, this is going to be X, Y, and Z pricing. Yeah. I see that you want open concept. This isn't the house for you. So it kind of helps my brokers that hire me to come in and really determine if, you know, hey, is this house for their client? Doing their due diligence to say, we want to add on like a big addition off the back. Well, your lot coverage, you don't have enough lot coverage for that. So it really helps on that standpoint. And, you know, I think being a broker, I also can help clients when I go into their home as a designer and say, listen, how long do you see yourself living here? Because the comps for the houses down the street went for this. You bought this house in 1997. You probably have X amount in equity. How much money do you want to invest to get your big ROI for when you move in 5 years? So there's that component that I think real estate is, you know, like I said, it's the life cycle. It's the development, it's the construction, and then the real estate side. There is a really good, it's a remodeling magazine. It's a Hanley Wood offering, and they do this really great thing every year where they go into different markets and they give the estimate of construction costs. And I think that's a really good thing as designers to show some of the clients to say, this is an average kitchen cost in Denver for a medium kitchen. Right. And I think they're a little on the lower side, but it does compare to the national averages. But from a real estate side, clients can say, yeah, maybe I don't want to spend $100,000. Maybe I want to spend 50. What could I do for $50,000 that I would really love it for the next 5 years? And then when my kids graduate, I can move. So
I love this. What a crazy added value as an interior designer to be able to do that from the real estate investment side as well. Not just this is what it costs. This is what it's going to make it pretty. And this is why I didn't change my plumbing and my electricity for that, you know, as well, because I don't want to over improve my house.
Right.
And you know what I love? I can see that particular service just being its own thing. Right. This is it. This is what I do. I consult on if you're buying a home, this is what you can do. If you're selling, you know, a house, you know, it's like staging kind of if you're selling on steroids.
Totally.
Because I used to do staging consulting when people wanted to sell their house, which is always, you're always the bad guy.
It's like you need to get rid of that animal head, please.
Please get rid of the animal head and all these pictures of your beautiful family. Never went over well. But you know, from over improving, you know, like, but not to the depth that you are able to offer, because I didn't have this education. So I love that. I think that would be terrific. Like if someone doesn't really want to do design and they just want to go out and get paid for a couple of hours and you're tired of dealing with the huge logistics of having an interior design firm there. I love that. That's a terrific idea.
You know, when I was at KBiz last year, I attended an education course that was like diversify, like how can you diversify your services as a designer? And one of them was like, just even being a lighting consultant. So if you have a client that comes to you and says, can you just help me lay out some cans? That's one service. But this is another service that I offer as a design consultation for potential real estate investment or real estate purchases. I can come out and give you an idea of what one, those construction costs will be. And two, you know, if this house is even feasible for that. So
if it's worth doing.
Totally. And I think designers should look at how they can diversify their business services. You know, you should have, I mean, I think I have like 6 or 7 different offerings, and it just helps different demographics. Like, they don't they only need a little bit, or they need the full scale. It helps you kind of solidify more clientele, being able to diversify that.
Yeah, I love that. That's a really great business model. So you guys are welcome if you want to change over to that. Take Elizabeth's course. Elizabeth, what else do we need to talk about with regards to the subject before we get into the fire round?
Leave
anything out? Okay.
You know, so from a construction side, I would say as a designer, you know, really try to tap into contractors. Like I said, if you find a good contractor, ask questions, go on job sites. You don't want to necessarily go into things with an ego. And I think it's really important for designers to say, you know, I don't know that, but I will find out for you. You know, I don't understand what that means. Could you help me understand? Because like I said, it only makes you a better designer. I've been doing this for 20 years. Every single job, I learned something new. And I think it just helps you as a designer facilitate more successful projects. You have a happier clientele. You know, when I come on job sites, sometimes my contractors will meet with clients and say, you don't need a designer. Oh, they just, you know, they yes. spend your budget, or they just make my life a living hell. And then when I come on, they'll say, where have you been? Like, you know, for me, it's like, I'm here as a team. I'm not here to point fingers. I want to be able to help you, and I'll handhold, and then you build, because that's really what contractors want to do. They don't want to help pick paint colors. They want to give me the paint color to paint. So I think as a designer, being able to have a basic knowledge and understanding of the construction, the sequence of events, this comes before this. This is why you need to spec this sooner rather than later. You know, what milestones on a job site are really important for you to be at? Probably electrical walkthrough and rough end, because you need to know if a can light you spec'd is sitting right on a floor joist, or your pendants can't be centered because there's ductwork there. Things that we don't know when we go and we do our measure ups, you know, countertop template. I just think if you're going to be focused as a designer in the construction side of this industry, you really want this basic knowledge. And there's just different ways that you can do that, either through education or being on job sites or working for design build firms. So that's just kind of my spiel. You know, I think you'll be a better designer, and you'll be more empowered with that knowledge.
That's a good spiel. I love it. So, and if you have a contractor that you're working with that you typically get a little friction from from being on the site and stuff, I love your approach. Help me to help you to learn, you know.
Totally.
I love that. It's terrific. All righty. Awesome. Elizabeth Lord Levitt, now I have to ask you, are you ready for the What Up Wingnut round?
Yes.
What would the hashtag on your tombstone be?
I tried to think of something really creative, but I'm not that. So I was like, oh, be grateful. But, you know, I'd rather be like, see you on the flip side, or like, you know,
much better.
Yeah. Don't bother me. I'm going to come scare you, or something, you know, like, I would rather it be something that's a little funnier, where if someone is taking a stroll through a cemetery and they see it, they're like, oh, that person, I probably would have liked them. You know,
you're stuck on a deserted island, but you can have your one favorite food forever. What is it?
Ugh. This was hard too. I'm kind of a candy connoisseur, so I would probably say candy, which is like terrible. I have the eating habits of a 5-year-old, so my 5-year-old and I eat goldfish and mac and cheese and that stuff. So probably, you know, like a mac and cheese or candy. Sadly.
Okay. Well, we'll let you have that mac and cheese or candy. So
right.
I mean, when you're there, though, I mean, mac and cheese probably help you survive more.
Yes, right. Because
but candy will make you happier. Because it's going to be a miserable experience.
Yes. Terrible.
Last but not least, please recommend a book that's impacted you either personally or professionally.
So personally, one of the books that I just always reference back to is The Four Agreements. It's by Luis Miguel Ruiz. And I just personally, I think it's just a great way to put life into perspective. You know, it gives you four kind of, you know, be impeccable with your word, do your best, don't take things personally, and don't make assumptions. And I think in construction, that is so applicable, because you can't take if a client is mad at you, you can't take it personal. You know, they're stressed out because they're spending a lot of money. So I really love that. The other book that I really love is a book called, I brought it out because it's called
Two Nice Foods, Girls, Two Books.
Yeah. Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office. It's by Louise Frankel. I loved this book just from a professional thing, you know, level, as a woman in the construction industry.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to say it's male oriented or male dominated, but it is. And, I think as a woman in construction, it's been interesting. In my grad program, I was the only female out of 19 men. And I looked at it as, I was excited. You know, I wanted to prove myself. And now I'm out here trying to educate mostly female designers in the construction side. Because again, I want these designers to feel empowered and be confident on their job sites. And I think that that book had really helped me be able to kind of, I don't know, maneuver around in some of these more male-dominated industries.
I love it. Very good recommendations. You guys can head on over to wingnutsocial.com and check the show notes for those books again. Elizabeth, please tell us where we can go to find out more about your Built for Design, and we'll call it a day.
Awesome. So Built for Design Residential Academy, it's builtfordesign.com. We offer e-courses, which will be launching in about 2 months. Nice. We offer webinars. We do public speaking events, moderating panels, anything that is construction related. I just spoke at the National Conference for the NKBA at KBiz about how to fire clients. So it's not necessarily construction, all construction based. You know, I teach on managing client expectations through a construction project. Yeah. There just can be a lot of facets that I think are applicable for designers and how they run their business and how they interact with their clients. Construction is incredibly stressful. So sometimes I'm a marriage counselor. Sometimes yes. I'm, you know, I have to be a psychologist and, you know, kind of cheer on some of my clients through the stressful stuff. I teach my students, like, you know, there's a bell curve of client emotions through a construction process. It's very Amen. Exciting in the beginning. And then, you know, drywall is very messy and they're annoyed. And then yep. the cabinets go in and they love it. And then they're like, please leave my house during punch list. And for me, I'm a big proponent of like setting those expectations. This is very normal for you to feel. It helps a client feel more normalized. Like, okay, I'm going to be soon. I'll be in the yeah. house. Like, I'll calm down. So Built for Design is what was kind of brought from my experiences. And I'm really on this mission to empower designers with this basic construction knowledge so that they can be successful in their own right on their job sites. So.
I love it. And that's Built for Design with the number 4.
Yes. Built for Design. Yep. .com.
Awesome. I love it. And I used to tell my clients, I said, listen, you're going to love me now. You love me now. But when drywall dust starts going around uh-huh. and your house is torn up, you're going to get a little stressed out and you might not like yes. me as much. But trust me when I tell you, it happens to everybody and it's normal. Uh-huh. And there is a light at the end of the tunnel. It's yes. going to love it. And then they love you at the end again, of course.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It happens all the time. Elizabeth Lord Lovett, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Darla. Have a good day.
Thanks. You too. All right, guys, food for thought. I know as interior decorators, right, learning the hard way is very expensive and not always in the best interest of our clients. There's a lot of things to know from a construction side when it comes to designing your spaces, and we need to reverse engineer that. Our clients deserve to know what that's going to look like. And if we're redoing their kitchen, you know, what it looks like to tear up stuff and going, you know, moving the plumbing and moving electric, it's not just a pretty, you know, cursor move on your chief architect. It's actually an investment in there. And I love Elizabeth's ideas for getting out there and doing the volunteering. Man, that really spoke to me. And that's something I think I would like to do just to do it anyway. I think that'd be fun and very rewarding. So if you're thinking about that, we can say thank you to her for planting that little seed. All right, guys, that is it for this episode. Remember to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That does help us to get found by interior designers who need this kind of wingnut in their life, right? To help them with their business and their knowledge for their interior design business. And we really do appreciate that. If you're listening, it helps us to know that, you know, hey, this thing's on. Someone's actually listening or watching, because we have our YouTube channel Designed by Wingnut Social on YouTube that is growing very nicely. And then you can see our guests and all the lovely graphics and work that my producer, who works so hard, Nicole Lyons, she's really amazing. And that's Designed by Wingnut Social over there on YouTube. And if you need help, again, with marketing your interior design business, or if you're a goods manufacturer or a maker or a vendor to the trades, or if you're an architect, that's all we do. That we only work in that genre. So we know the industry backwards and forwards. I'm an interior decorator from Miami, Florida, like I said. So we know what that looks like and how to speak to your ideal clients. And head on over to wingnutsocial.com and let's chat. Let's chat and see how we can work together. That is it for this week. Remember, until next time, to get out there, get uncomfortable, and be great.
You've reached the end of this episode of Designed by Wingnut Social, but that's only the first step into accelerating your business the Wingnut way. Head over to wingnutsocial.com or call us at 786-206-4331 to see how we can help take your business from meh to amazing. We'll see you on the next episode of Designed by Wingnut Social, your digital marketing tightly fastened.
But actually, what is that going to look like underneath? So we can quote our client that are not only aesthetically impactful, but also practical. Let me start that over again. But also practicable and obtainable. I bit my tongue back here too, so that's a stretch.
Good boy, Mango.